us now to educate, elucidate, and enlighten us on all things NBA and the Milwaukee Bucks. It is our Bucks buddy from the Bucks Radio Network with the best theme music of anyone on our program. It is the great Justin Garcia with a great hat and some great shoes in the background. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you guys?
What is the tie-dye hat there? What is the logo? I can't make it out.
It is it's a golf brand. But, I have way too many hats.
Are you a big golfer?
I don't know about big. I golf. Not as much as I used to.
I like this.
But
JG, are you going to be out at the ESPN Milwaukee Open, which I think is middle of July?
I would have to get an invite for it.
So okay, well, we know, here's my thought process.
Oh, here we
because
go.
Because Jason just got a loves fourth. You. We really like you. Let's go, and this will be the Jason Wilde Breaks 200 challenge with his good buddy, JG. You on board? Oh, boy. Hey, oh, boy.
How many holes are we talking about to break 200? Also, way to really downplay it. If Jason loves you, we can tolerate you, the rest of us.
Jason, listen, we really like you, JG, but Jason goes overboard and he promotes your shows constantly. So I just want to be shooting straight with you. Jason, we think we can use you as a fishing lure to get Wilde to actually do this thing that he won't do with us.
We're using you.
I don't know if you mind being used, but we're going to try to use you.
Interesting choice of words to start that sentence. We think we can use you.
You want me to lie?
No, I don't want you to lie.
JG, are you on board? If we can get Wilde out there, are you on board?
If you can get me an invite to it and get Jason out there, I'm on board.
Right. We're in.
We'll get you an invite. I can guarantee you that. All right.
We are excited.
If we could use you for your insights into the Bucks and the draft, and A.J. Johnson, the Fresno/Australian draft pick, tell us what you know and what you've learned about A.J. Johnson and how he is the next Giannis from what some are saying on social media.
Are some really saying that on social media? Because all the social media I've seen was not a lot of excitement. There was so it's funny, too. We'll get to A.J. Johnson in a second, but going into the offseason, all the chatter from Bucks fans were, hey, they got to get younger and more athletic and preferably bigger size on the wings with their guards, guys that are quicker and bring that athleticism. And they do that. And granted, he's not a guy that's going to step in and help you next year. In all likelihood, he's a project, more of a prospect. But as soon as it happens, terrible draft pick. What are the Bucks doing here? They're squandering the next couple of years. He's very raw. He has a lot of nice tools. He had apparently one of his best workouts for the Bucks than any other team. Sam Vecenie of The Athletic was the first to kind of sniff it out about an hour before the draft of, I think this is where they're headed. He's in Australia and is very familiar with all those players in the NBL. But you can see the things that he does in workouts, granted, that would lead you to say, okay, this is something we can get excited about. I don't mind not a long-term project, but a guy that is not going to be a rotational piece next year, that you see some things that you can develop, and he's going to be there for, I wouldn't say the second wave, but as you're starting to think, how do we reconfigure this with Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton both entering lock years, what is that going to mean going forward? And is this kind of how the Warriors talked about two timelines? Is this our second timeline of Giannis and some younger guys? It makes sense there. I think the frustration with Bucks fans is he's a guy that's probably going to spend all the season or most of it in Oshkosh with the herd, and he's not going to be a bench piece for you this year. But that was always the challenging piece was you want to get younger. You already have 3 to 4, however you view it, young guys on your roster that you're looking to develop. And I just never thought the Bucks were going to carry that many young guys into this season when your goal is still a championship. Half of your roster isn't going to be second or third year guys that weren't lottery picks that you're trying to develop.
Is Marjon Beauchamp still on the team?
He is, yeah. He's on the team, and we heard Doc Rivers, granted, you take it with a grain of salt because it's what all coaches do, but we heard Doc Rivers really talk him up at his end-of-season press conference and saying, look, that's a guy that has some of those tools we talked about. We get a full offseason to work with him, his expanded coaching staff now with the additions he's continued to make. And Marjon was, I think we all kind of latched onto Andre Jackson Jr. and A.J. Green. They moved past him by season's end. But Marjon was dealing with some injuries towards the end of the season, which really kind of limited the limited practices that the Bucks had, but any other chances for Doc Rivers to get a look at him.
So you think that there is some youth on this roster, because Tausch, our NBA expert when you're not available, has pointed out repeatedly they need to get younger. And he's right. I give him grief, but more often than not, when he says something, he's right about it. Do you see them being able to do that? And then we can get into how they're going to get younger by trading Brook Lopez to get off that second apron of the luxury tax and everything else with you coming up. But do you believe they have young players that are going to be good enough to help them get younger with actual quality as opposed to just getting younger with having more young players in the rotation?
I think they're in a better spot now than they've been during this Bucks championship contenders era. I mean, part of it is just the volume of guys. It's always really just been one guy that you would look at. Man, can Thon Maker develop? Dante DiVincenzo was the guy for the longest time.
So he appears to have developed.
He developed pretty well. He's developed.
He developed nicely. Developed quite nicely. But hey, you got Serge Ibaka for him.
They did.
But they have a handful of those guys. I think, obviously, the ones that are easiest to latch onto, I don't know that he's going to start, but I think we've seen enough to know, especially with all indications Malik Beasley is going to find more than a veteran's minimum elsewhere. A.J. Green is going to continue to have a big opportunity to kind of be, in some ways, like your Duncan Robinson, and a guy that has one very lethal skill set of shooting that you've developed and figured out ways to keep him on the floor. So I think his role is probably going to increase this upcoming season. And I think the tricky part with Andre is the defense is NBA ready, and you see everything there. I'm not going to say all NBA caliber, but very good. The challenge for Doc Rivers and his staff is how do we develop the offense? Because he was a negative offensive player, and that's going to be the tricky part about lineups with him on the floor with Giannis that everybody points to. Hey, you should start at the two-guard spot. If you have two non-shooters on the floor and one especially that you can help off of in Andre Jackson Jr., it just makes it all the more difficult for Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard. So his offensive development, to me, is going to really indicate how much of an expansion of a role he takes on next season. And Marjon is the total wild card. I don't think it was lip service when the Bucks drafted him and really talked him up. A lot of the same things that we heard last night, too, about how excited they were for some of the things that he brings to the table. Of those two guys, of A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr., Marjon has the best combination of offense and defense. Andre's more defense, A.J.'s a shooter. Injuries have been a big piece of it, but he's another guy you look at and you say everything we just mentioned. You got to get more athletic and younger and guys that are bigger on the wing. He fits all of those. So I'm not sure what to expect because we didn't see a lot of him last year, but that doesn't mean the door is slammed shut on him. I think the challenge is, are all three of those guys going to be big rotational pieces and big parts of your bench? That's the part I'm not so sure about, because this is still a team to win a championship, and it's still three guys that we're talking about. You see things you like, but they're not finished products. And how heavily are you going to lean on that when those are your expectations?
Justin, you talked about the second apron. What? I told you just, one more. Well, hopefully. What? I was hoping JG would stick around for another segment, because I do want to get into Chris Middleton and Brolo and Connaughton and Bobby and what's going to happen. But this second apron thing, I don't. Can you explain? Because Jason said yesterday, you don't get a mid-level exemption, and you can't trade salaries for salaries. Can you explain what is the, what that looks like, and are the Bucks for certain going to be in that for this season?
So for next season, not necessarily. For the season that ends in, what, 2 days? So the league year ends at the end of June. They are in it. There's no way to avoid that. For next season, there are ways that they can get out of it. We can get into that. I can stick around for another segment. But long and short of it is you don't want to be in the second apron. You can do it once. You don't want to live in there because of everything it takes off the table for you. It basically means nice all job, you can do Jason. Is sign guys to a veteran's minimum.
You can stick around for another segment. You will stick around for another segment. We look forward to another segment with our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
With Justin Garcia. We'll see if we have enough time to get into sinkholes and the greater than Michael Jordan's influence on the international game that Tony Parker had. But before that, we need to figure out who the hell's going to be on this Bucks roster. And we need to start with what Tausch brought up yesterday, and that is the Brolo possible departure that is being bandied about in league circles. Justin, is he a goner?
That's a tough one. I am inclined to say no, just because, so there's a couple of ways to look at it. I think number one, I've been a staunch Brook Lopez defender for years now. It's easy to look at last season and say, well, Brook's old and he's washed and you got to move on from him. But I've kind of made the comparison for the last year or so of it's very similar to when you're watching a football game and you see a touchdown where it's a passing touchdown, a cornerback gets beat as you perceive it. You say, well, that guy blew the coverage. And the reality is most of us don't know. What was his responsibility? Was it supposed to be a zone? Was somebody supposed to shade over and help him? And it's very similar with Brook in that it's easy to look at guys hitting the floater over him and challenging him at the rim and scoring and say, well, he's lost a step and you got to move on because you can't switch with him and yada, yada, yada. But for 5 years, Brook Lopez was your linchpin and he played in a defense that was set up to funnel everything into him. He contested the most shots in the league last year. And he's always been around the top in the league, but it's been by design. And last year, it was because you had no perimeter defense where he was constantly under attack. I think even regardless of how substantive they are, the teams that you see linked to him, that shows you teams recognize the value. And he is still a very good stretch five in terms of his offensive game. And with the right components around him, he is a very effective defensive player. If you trade him, the question then becomes, what are you doing at center? Right? Like Giannis doesn't want to play center full time. And you can understand why. You can use that for the playoffs, but do you want to put all that wear and tear on him? Even if it's, you know, not the traditional back to the basket bigs anymore, it's still asking a lot. Not to mention, you don't have a backup center on the roster. Giannis and Bobby Portis are your backup bigs. And there's not any real solid options out there in terms of free agency, depending on what happens with the Bucks cap situation. But even then, Isaiah Hartenstein is really the best free agent center out there. The Bucks are not in the neighborhood of what he is going to command for salary. So the fact that you didn't use that 23rd pick to draft a big that you felt like can play this year, and there are some that will be available at 33, but still the fact that you didn't use it for that, I don't know what other options there are. And I don't foresee a team saying, we're going to trade you one of our centers that's going to match what you want to do, that can switch more defensively for Brook Lopez because we think he fits us better. So I don't really see a big coming back for Brook which kind of leads me to think if you're going to make any cap saving moves, you're better off trying to use someone else to do that on your roster. And there's the two names, obviously, that everybody kicks around in Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis. I think Marjan is a name that you could throw out there as well. They couldn't trade their first round pick via technicality because of the Stepien rule. They can trade it now that they've made it. So who knows? Maybe that pick last night was made for somebody else and it's part of a trade that's coming up. But I think it's just, you look at the age, which I get, but also the contract figure and say, well, that's the best way that you can save money and bring in good players at that contract value. And I just don't know what the trade is that involves Brook Lopez that makes you a better team.
Does Doc Rivers want Brook Lopez to be his center? Does he want to play defense that way? Because that, we know Bud did. And then there was, well, we're not going to do it with Griffin. And then he, after a couple games, said, maybe we should. What does Doc want to do?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, we've heard the rumblings of Doc wants to be more versatile defensively. And even last year, towards the end of the season, we saw games where Brook didn't really close. He did in the playoffs and late when you had injuries out of necessity. But I still think you need that arrow to use. Like, you need to – versatility means having a traditional big, but also we need to switch and have different lineups that we can play. I think the other piece of it with Brook, too, is, you know – if you keep him going into the season, he's going to be a pretty big trade chip and a valuable asset if things aren't working out and say, okay, here's how we can bring something else in that fits with us, because it's a $23 million expiring contract to use at the midpoint of the season for teams that want to get off of salary. Or if you just, you know, see, can this work? Can we find a switchable big and other ways to play? And Brook plays as well, where we use different lineups. Again, it's a $23 million expiring contract that, you know, next offseason, there's a good chance they can get under that second apron for this season. But it helps you out even more next offseason, where you would have a mid-level exception to use if that $23 million is off the books. And still, with the cap going up 10% every year starting next year, be in all of a sudden a decent spot cap-wise.
So how are you going to get out of this apron situation if you're not going to get rid of Brolo?
So right now, so they're not going to avoid it for the season that ends in 2024.
The
big thing is you don't want to be there multiple years, back-to-back years, because that's when things start to happen. If your picks get frozen 7 years out and potentially lose those, you can't trade them. So right now, at this very moment, they are roughly $3 to $4 million under that second apron figure for this upcoming season, but that's just with 11 players under contract. The veterans minimum is just under $3 million, so there's no way they're going to avoid it as presently structured. You got to shave off about $4.5 million from your cap to get under that second apron for next season. And I think the most logical way to do that, when you look at some of these contracts, you could trade one of your younger players. It wouldn't be enough. It would have to be separate moves, because you can't aggregate deals until you get under that second apron. Mm-hmm. You could move a young player for future draft picks, and that would shave some off. Or the most logical ones would be the names of Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis, because you can't combine those two in a trade, but you could send out, let's say, Pat Connaughton, for example, and his $9.4 million. You could send that out to a team. You would probably have to attach some type of sweetener. Maybe that's the 33rd pick, because there's a lot of teams that are reportedly showing interest in moving up to those first three picks in the second round. But you could attach some things to that, bring back a player that makes $4 million or so in a cap-saving move, and a player that you think could help you next year. And that would get you under that second apron level, assuming you fill out the rest of your roster with veterans minimums.
How many teams, because it was interesting, the Brook Lopez talk started, and you saw the Lakers and the Rockets and all the other teams that are super interested, and that's what made me start Golden State. How many teams would be interested in Pat Connaughton or Bobby Portis? Is Pat Connaughton someone that you can trade and get anything back for at this point?
That's going to be the tough one of the two, because of what we've seen. I mean, the age is a factor now as well. Pat Connaughton's going to turn 32 already during next season. And his play declined, obviously, the last 2 years. Part of that, you could say, was injuries. Part of it, maybe, is you maximized everything you could get out of him as a role player for those first few years. So that's one you get the sense you would definitely have to attach other sweeteners to it. And that's, again, the tricky part is you can't combine anything. So as long as you're in the second apron, you couldn't say, we're going to trade you Pat Connaughton and a draft pick, and we're going to give you Andre Jackson Jr. as well because other teams are high on him. You can't combine deals going out if you're in that second apron. They could trade, let's say, Brook Lopez and his $23 million. You could bring back two or three players as long as it's less than that $23 million. Bobby Portis, I think, has value across the league because when you look at it, he's a guy that plays basically every game, every season, since he's come to Milwaukee, and largely since he's been in the league. He was in the sixth man of the year running the last 2 years, and you know what to expect from him. He's a guy that could score 20 or more a night. He's going to get you close to 10 rebounds as well. And I think there's teams that see the value in that of, look, he's not going to be our best player, but he's going to be a guy that's going to help our second unit or play alongside a switchable big man. So I think in terms of what the value is, there is value for Brook Lopez. There's a lot of value, I think, for Bobby Portis as well, especially that contract is only about $12 or $13 million.
Chris Middleton, will he for surely be on this team? Because you said expiring contract. He obviously showed what he can do, and I think really reinvigorated the fan base with what he did in that Indiana series. Is he a definite, like, yes, he'll be back?
I lean towards yes. I mean, if for no other reason than the relationship he has with Giannis. I know that wasn't a factor in Jrue Holiday getting traded. But I think the big piece is, you know, number one, I don't know, not to say that he doesn't have value, but realistically, what are you giving up for Chris Middleton out there as another team in the league?
Is he an expiring contract, though, too? Is his contract
expiring?
He has a player option
for the season after, which I would assume
he's going to decline. He's going to keep that, right? Oh, he'll decline it?
Well, he could decline it. And again, if you see what Chris Middleton did in the playoffs and you get some of that during the regular season, you decline it. And you work out instead of this 1 year for $33, I think it is, million dollars, let's turn that into 3 years for maybe I save you some money again, but $28 to $30 million where you're saving some cap space, but I'm getting more years.
I don't know about that. I'd be a little leery of that.
I mean, the thing is, if you're a team, what are you going to give up for Chris Middleton when injuries have – like, I don't think he's injury prone, but at some point when you've had it, you know, even if it's been fluke injuries that he's run into, I'm not going to call a guy injury prone for slipping on a wet spot in a playoff game. But the fact is he's missed significant time each of the last few seasons. He's going to be 33 during the season. He could walk after the season. So I just don't know. It's kind of similar to the Brook Lopez trade. What's the trade you make for Chris Middleton where you feel like we won the trade or we got back equal value? I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's one that's out there.
Any last one for me? I know we got to let you go. Wiggins from Golden State. I saw some rumblings on the old Twitter machine. You're shaking your head. You're not buying.
No, I would, because look, here's the thing too with Andrew Wiggins. He's at $26 million, goes up to $28 million the year after. He has a player option for $30 million the year after that. Well, you would save money. So let's say, I mean, the only one that you could trade for him would be Chris Middleton, unless you want to trade Damian Lillard or Giannis, just because of that cap situation. But the Warriors are also in that spot. They're in a worse spot than the Bucks are. So they can't take back more money in a trade. But even if you could, you know, Andrew Wiggins really had that 1 year in 2022. I know there was some personal stuff going on. But that was the aberration year. That was the anomaly. And every other year, it's been very disappointing. So do you really want to sign up for that much money to say, hey, we think that 1 year out of a 10-year career, that 1 year is actually who he is?
Yeah, I agree with you there. Next last one for me. Brooklyn, they are in Tank City. It's Tank City for them. Who is there anybody there that you talked about the bigs? Is there anybody that we'd want to try? Because it seems like, let's go take a look. They're thinking about, okay, we'll take some picks. Anyone from the Brooklyn Nets that would be a fit for this roster?
Well, I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith, I think, is the name that was linked to the Bucks last year as well. He's going to have a lot of suitors, though. But again,
the old Maverick, right? He was a Maverick for a while.
Yeah.
I like him.
His best days.
I want him. Bring him.
He's good. He would fit what you need. But I think the challenge is his best days are probably behind him. It's a one-year deal that you're dealing with for him. Working out the trade would also be the difficult part because he's at just under $15 million. So, again, it leaves you with pretty much just Brook Lopez that you could offer. I know he's still the leading scorer in franchise history for the Nets. But that doesn't make sense for them where they're headed. Cam Johnson, to me, is the name that if you could wave a magic wand and get off of that Brooklyn Nets roster. Cam Johnson, is the guy because he's a very good supplemental guy, a tertiary scorer. He's a very switchable defender, has good size.
Tertiary?
He's only 28 years old.
What does that word mean?
Not a primary. Just keep going down the list.
Oh, okay.
His contract declines year after year, too. So it gets smaller each of the next few years. The challenge there is he's at $23+ million, more than Brook Lopez. So you could not trade straight up Brook Lopez for Cam Johnson because of the second apron piece. You can't bring back more money than you send out. And in a Cam Johnson trade, let's say you send Brook for him, you're bringing back $600,000 more, which is not allowed under the second apron.
This apron thing it's tough sledding. Tough apron. It's tertiary. It should be a tertiary thing. The apron should be. Shouldn't be at the top.
Well, you could argue it was a tertiary concern for a lot of teams as you look at where their cap situation currently is.
Yeah. Wilde and tertiary.
Hi, Justin. That. Jason Wilde here. I know you have
other work. Hey, you want to chop up Bucks, you get a couple NBA cats that just know what they're talking. That's what you do, Wilde.
At least
you
one.
Chop it up.
I know you've got like other things on your plates. But I had a Drew Holiday question. I have some questions about the second round of the draft that still is going on today. I don't suppose you have another couple minutes to stick around.
Yeah, let's
do
it. Let's do it. Yeah.
I won't even ask questions about your shoe collection. All right. A record-setting third segment with Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy. Tausch, crack open a Coors Light during it so I could get a few questions in, if you don't mind.
If you're bringing JG, I got more that I still don't fully comprehend.
Of course you do.
This apron thing. But what I do comprehend is sitting back, relaxing, and chilling with a Coors Light. Brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And make sure those mountains are blue when you're needing to chill to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
All right. For those of you that are starved for Bucks content on this show, we have delivered today with our two in-house Bucks experts, Tausch and, of course, Justin Garcia, who is going to stick around.
I think I'm on board with trading Brolo. I do. I think I'm on board. I think it's time. And I can't wait. Hold up. I'm going to tease this. Garcia is going to tell you.
I'm leaving the photo.
If he believes that Brook Lopez's jersey is going to be in the rafters one day in Fiserv Forum. If that time comes, we will get that back in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, and it begins with our continuing conversation with Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy. I'm actually here. It may not have seemed like it in the last segment, but I am. Justin, before we get to Brolo's jersey in the rafters, a few other questions, if I may. A lot of talk on the national programs about the way things played out with Drew Holiday winding up with the Celtics and the Celtics winding up NBA champions. We've had this conversation before when you've been on. This is one of the many reasons we love having you. This is because your insights, and you basically said, look, you weren't going to get Damian Lillard by giving up nothing. And it was out of their hands where he landed if he was retraded by the Trailblazers, which is exactly what happened. But how do you view, now that we have seen him be a very key piece to a championship Celtics team, how do you now view that trade and the importance of Drew Holiday in the grand scheme of the Milwaukee Bucks?
I mean, I don't think my view on his importance has changed. It's still TBD in terms of, I don't want to say who wins the trade, but like, what did you get back? I think that's still to be determined because of how last year was kind of like a lost year and a redshirt year for a lot of guys. When you think about multiple coaching changes, the injuries, and you didn't have your best guys available in the playoffs. I've seen more people go back on the, why wouldn't you make it a three-team deal and do this or that to ensure that Drew Holiday didn't go to the Boston Celtics. I can agree with John Horst's logic, or what we assume the logic was, of we didn't want to make this a three-team deal because when you have that third team, like, that's when complications arise and things can start to break down. And let's say all three teams couldn't come to some type of understanding, then you go into the next season with Drew Holiday knowing you shopped me and you tried to trade me for a guy and this didn't work out. And okay, I guess I'm happy to be here. So I get that. They had a feeling there's a good chance he goes to Boston. I think we all thought he's either going to get shipped to Boston, Miami, maybe the Clippers. He's going to end up at one of those teams. Let's just hope it's the Clippers. Unfortunately, that did not happen. But I just go back to, look, I think you kind of reached the end of the road with the way that that team was constructed. You didn't have enough offense. It's not Drew Holiday's fault. He was in the perfect role with the Boston Celtics where he was a supplemental scorer, and he got a lot of open looks because of that. The Bucks asked him to be their second best offensive player for large stretches of the playoffs. That's not his strength. So you weren't going to win the title with that group as they were constructed anymore. And even last year, if you didn't make that trade, I don't think you beat the Indiana Pacers. Even with, you know, if Giannis is healthy, maybe you do, but that's your group. You're going to run into the same issue of your defense is going to be better, but let's not forget you lost other big pieces, not just Drew. Wesley Matthews was gone. Javon Carter was gone as well. Your offense just wasn't going to be good enough, and you were going to run into the same problem of, we're going to get some stops and stop after stop, but then what happens? Offense beats defense eventually. So that one time when the opponent breaks through, you got a match, and they just couldn't do that.
All right, I want to get one more question in before you have to go and before Tausch takes over again, and that is this. I was very nervous last night at number 23 after I proclaimed Kyle Filipowski to be a cheap Christian Laettner knockoff on this program. Is there any chance he'll be the 33rd pick, and I'll have to live with that?
I was going to say, I would be very nervous right now because I don't know what to expect, but 33 is the first three picks, really. It's the interesting part because for the Bucks, you worked on a project. You took a project and a guy that you feel like probably not this year, but the next couple of years he can develop into something. So to me, that signals you are either picking somebody that you think is going to contribute now, and I think Kyle Filipowski is one of a handful of names. I also think if you use that pick, it's going to be a big. So he's one of a handful of names, or you trade basically out of the second round because teams are interested in that. There's first round talent here that didn't go. do we want to move up to those first handful of picks in the second round? And you trade that for future second round picks, or maybe even a very heavily protected first round pick down the road.
So it's not going to be Tyler Kolek, though.
I just don't see that fit. I think, I mean, if they draft Tyler Kolek, I think that's a clear signal that you're not bringing back Pat Beverly on a veteran's minimum. I think if they do pick a Marquette player here at 33, it's going to be his teammate, Osu Iguodaro.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Tausch. It's all yours.
No, I don't want to intrude anymore, man. I got most of my – so I guess if Brolo gets traded, is his number going to be up in the rafters with Middleton's and with Giannis?
I think any of those guys, even Drew Holiday, I think you make a case for when you look at the impact on that title team, any of the major contributors to that era – are getting their jersey retired. Chris is obviously going to be – Chris and Giannis both need statues. Lopez, I think, gets his jersey retired. I think the interesting part is it was 3 years. You can make a very strong case. Drew made some of the biggest plays to help them get a championship. Drew should probably get it too, even though it was only 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's going to be interesting. The day that Drew Holiday comes back to Milwaukee for that ceremony. But I think at this point, it's a done deal. I mean, he's one of the best big men in franchise history. So I think Brook Lopez definitely has his number retired.
Justin, yep. Your jersey is in the rafters of the Wilde and Tausch Hall of Fame of guests. It will be hanging there proudly.
Wow, what that's the first announcement of that. Wow, Justin, that's pretty special.
Well, we're still working on the brick and mortar
for those
building.
Spots.
And
was this the first time you had a three-segment guest?
It's been a while. I don't remember one. Andy North. North stuck around.
Andy North Hour. That was. It's not quite the same because he was in person and he just didn't want to leave. He was enjoying himself.
Bulaga's
so much.
On long enough to be three segments every week, it's but it's
fair.
Only
good
two.
Good one, Jesse.
Very fair.
It's a good one.
All right.
Well, Jesse, I suppose, is the reoccurring three-segment guest.
Jesse had. How many? Six shows of being the primary driver, and he still hasn't recovered. So we look forward to him getting back into the rhythm. Dude, we love it when you join us. We love your insights. We really appreciate all of them. I love all of Tausch's questions. Don't get me wrong. Apparently he might have. But no, you guys, I can listen to you two chop it up. It's like listening to inside the NBA. Like, I don't know which one of you – well, I know which one of you is Barkley. And which one of you is Ernie Johnson? Who are you? Are you Kenny the Jet? Where are we putting you, Justin?
Oh. Yeah, I suppose I'd be Kenny in that role.
Yeah, and that would be Ernie Johnson, which is not a bad role for me either. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks.
See you guys.
That was great. I feel so much smarter because of him, although I still don't fully understand all the apron business. Do you?
No. I mean, I get the limitations of it, but we're not in the apron. Once the league year ends, which, by the way, it's dumb. The season ends, it's over. Okay, let's stop doing. You put the draft right after. Once the draft is happening, the next league year started. So yeah. I know it's got a couple more days. Don't do the draft till the last year starts. Bum, bum. So that should be a case. But now we're going to be under the apron. So then we should be able to do what we want. To manipulate to get so we're not over the apron next year.
But you're not because it's from last year when you were. All I know.
Bottom line, I know Bucks fans aren't going to like this. Brook Lopez, I think he said it without saying it. I don't think Doc wants Brook back.
Yeah.
I think if he has to, he wants to do things differently. Brook is going to be a rim protector, drop defender. That's what they do. And with the apron and with the cap and with all the money and all the his contract and his play is of great value to someone. And you need to get that back because you got to start rebooting. We've been knocked out. Guys, we've been knocked out 2 years in a row. You can't keep pounding your head against the wall and think something's different's going to happen. You can't. It's time.
Injuries have factored into those first round departures, though, and I am guessing that that is a thought that they have.
If you are a champion, if you're a championship contending team, by the way, there was injuries the year we won a chip too.